Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925-KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is another Wellness Wednesday. It's a fabulous day here in Southern Utah, and we're excited to be here again as we approach this holiday season and enjoying the day. It's another beautiful sunny day after too few days of rain, we would say.
Well, that's what I would say. Yeah. And Christmas is in the air, and people are being a little bit more patient and a little friendlier on the roads. Have you noticed that, Andy?
No.
Oh, sorry.
I have not. I've been trying to be myself, but good.
And that's good. But we are deep in cold and flu season. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the news is very into the whole COVID, flu, RSV, get your vaccines, things like that. We're not making comment on that on any level.
Thank you.
We are talking about something entirely different.
You have a cure for cancer?
No.
Wait, no, that's been done. Never mind.
Yeah. But it's related, and that is, I think while the press is really concerned about all these other things, they aren't hitting on this, and we think it's pretty important. And that is over-the-counter medications and how detrimental some of them can be, and how confusing it is the way they're being marketed today.
Well, and let me give you an example. You go to the store to get, let's say, Robitussin, and that's a brand name, but, it's a decongestant. Have you noticed that there's probably 25 different combinations or packages? And when you're standing there, do you know which one to pick?
No.
Which one's going to be best for me? Because every little additive has a different component that's going to have pluses and minuses to
right.
it.
So in looking at this, some of our patients use guaifenesin, which is an expectorant, and it helps clear out the lungs. It loosens up the mucus, and then they can cough it out. And it's always been puzzling to me that that is often mixed with a cough suppressant. So we loosen up the phlegm so that you could cough it out, but then we restrict the coughing to get it out. It makes no sense. And
right? Andy's sitting here with a confused look on his face, that's kind of the point. We don't really know that purpose, right? When we're looking at it, we just look at these, I'm looking for guaifenesin, and if this other stuff is in it, it must be better, right?
Yeah.
It's two additives, so it must be better.
Must be better.
But the truth is, you may be buying a decongestant and a cough suppressant. So an expectorant and a suppressant,
right,
which really is counterintuitive, isn't it?
So we kind of wanted to go through this today, and when you look at these brands, you'll notice that they almost all have four different versions, right? There's Robitussin and Robitussin DM and Robitussin,
nighttime and
all of those things. And we're going to cover some of the components of that, some of the cold medications, and some of the effects they have on them. And these are going to be kind of important things, because sometimes we're taking things that are really unhealthy for some of us. And as we age, we end up with some of these conditions where it really matters. High blood pressure, heart disease, those are actually affected by many of these medications.
Well, and although we don't take pause to really consider it, if it has to process through our kidney or our liver, and our kidney and liver are, as we age, a little bit weaker, it can actually cause more problems as our bodies, our systems try to process that. So it really should probably have more attention than is given to it. And we just thought that we'd help you give some thoughtful considerations for you to either do the research on your own, because they are over-the-counter meds. But as always, we suggest that you talk to your doctor to understand it a little bit better. But I'll give you a little interesting note here, side note. I did talk to a doctor recently and asked about that. And you know what his comment to me was? Wow, you're 100% right. I never really gave it that much thought. But keep in mind that your doctors prescribe prescriptions, and while they might suggest a decongestant or an over-the-counter med, rarely do they say, and make sure you buy this one, buy the DM or don't get the DM. They
right.
just say, get some Robitussin, get some an expectorant, right? So sometimes when you bring it to their mind, then it is time for them to pause and take thoughtful consideration of what exactly they're prescribing. And again, we're huge proponents of be your own best medical advocate. So ask those questions.
And another part of this is obviously that the companies that are producing these medications are trying to sell as much of it as possible. So I think most of the time when you go and get a pill, it's going to have everything in it, even though you may not have those symptoms. And when we have a cold, our symptoms change. I mean, we may have a runny nose, we may be sneezy, we may have congestion in our lungs, we may have a sore throat, a fever. All those things can happen. They just don't normally happen at the same time. So I'll just ask you, and you guys can decide for yourself, is it better to take a medication that solves everything even though you don't have it, or is it better to take a medication that solves the things you have? Especially when we start going down some of these downfalls of some of these medications. You may be a little more selective of the things that you're willing to use and look at whether it works. Now, there was a study done, I'm just going to throw this out real quick. In 2014, they looked at a number of studies on this, and when it comes to coughing, acute coughing where it's really bad, they found that most of the medications out there really don't do anything anyway. So that may not be your, you know, your best solution. But we're going to go through this. So we're going to break this down. There's decongestants, expectorants, cough suppressants, and antihistamines. Those all affect different parts of our body and the symptoms that we have, because a cold cannot be cured. So we're not looking for a cure here. We're looking for symptom management.
That's right. That's right. Just to make us feel better as our bodies go through its natural course.
So let's start with decongestants like pseudoephedrine, phenylephrine, oxymetolazine. I hope I gave those.
I think if you're looking at the words, you'll know what he's talking about.
Anyway, they all be called decongestants. They can do some good, but those over-the-counter ones also have some severe warnings. Do not use this product if you have heart disease, high blood pressure, thyroid disease, diabetes, or difficulty in urination due to enlarged prostate, unless directed by a doctor. Because, interestingly, these decongestants have a huge impact. They're intended to constrict the blood vessels in your nasal cavities. But they don't just constrict the blood vessels in your nasal cavities. They constrict it throughout your entire body. And so if you have high blood pressure, it increases your blood pressure.
And that's not good.
No, I think that's bad.
It's very bad.
And those are the things that sometimes we just readily, those medications are readily available over the counter, and we go in and we say, oh, I have a cough, I'm going to take this. But did you consider that your high blood pressure, or if you have prostate issues, that may not be the best? It may be better just to do some natural remedies, maybe just some steam and some warm honey to soothe the throat, because anytime we offer a medication, there's a benefit, but there's always a side effect. And we know that, but how many of us actually pull the paper out of the box and read through it in that really, really tiny print?
Right. We pull the paper out of the box and throw it away, usually.
Yeah, because it gets in the way and slows me down.
It really does. It slows you down when you're getting to that good feeling. And I got to tell you, I've taken cold medicine, and after about 2 days, it just makes me agitated more than it really helps anything else. So I usually try and just weather through the storm of the cold, because I know that if you take all these medications, it's going to take about a week and a half to get through the cold. And if you don't take any medications, it's going to take about 10 days. So
the equivalent of, I know Andy's sitting here trying to count the days and in a week and a half.
It seemed kind of like the same thing.
It's pretty close. Yeah.
So if you can put up with a little bit of that discomfort, you may save your life. I'm just going to go with that. Additionally, decongestants, again, we're just talking about those right now. Sudafed, the pseudoephedrine, and the phenylephrine, they can increase your blood sugar levels. So if you have diabetes and those kind of things.
Or high blood sugar.
It causes worse situations. And so you need to be checking that more, and you have to manage it. If you have high blood pressure and you do take that, you should be checking your blood pressure more often, because we have to adapt. But the blood sugar level also goes up. So those are some very interesting concerns. And then here's another one that most people may not consider, and that is that it elevates the pressure in your eye, which can cause a lot of problems. I'm trying to remember what exactly it was. But basically, if you already have problems with your eyes, degenerative vision, then you're going to then you're going to have a problem.
In this study, it specifically says over-the-counter medicines such as decongestants and antihistamines can dilate the pupil and lead to dangerously elevated eye pressure. We want you to know that none of the information we are giving you today is opinion. We always take everything directly from the American Medical Association or the NIH, the National Institute on Healthcare. So if you want any of these references, we're always happy to give them to you. Give our office a call at 435-477-6999. And I just kind of interject that because we forgot to say it earlier. But Richard, please go on.
So the next thing is prostate. Because we constrict these blood vessels and do these other things, it affects our ability to urinate. And so we end up with urine retention, which can lead to a whole bunch of other problems. But right. we are causing problems for our prostate, which is already has problems of its own. So it should be something to avoid. And then for those people who have hypothyroidism.
That's me.
Yeah.
Well, I think there are a lot of people, and if you feel tired all the time, and you know, it's life isn't quite as up as it used to be, that might be the case. But it actually affects the use of thyroxine. Your body isn't going to be able to assimilate that, so you're going to actually reduce your thyroid output even more with those types of drugs.
So I'll read it again directly. Hypothyroidism is managed with a synthetic form of thyroxine, or also known as T4, called levothyroxine.
That's what I take.
There you go. Available under the brand names of Synthroid or Levothroid, people may be at an increased risk of cardiovascular side effects if they take pseudoephedrine or phenylephrine.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I don't know.
And levothyroxine, which is the thyroid med. This could be especially dangerous for someone who has pre-existing heart disease or heart issues.
Wow.
So who knew that, you know, just trying to make it through the day when you have a little bit of a cold, you could be causing these many problems.
Well, and the reason we thought this was so important is it is flu and cold season, right? So you may not have a doctor's appointment, or you already had a doctor's appointment, and you wake up just not feeling very good. So you run to the drugstore, and you are buying an over-the-counter med, so you completely think they're safe, or certainly they wouldn't be so readily available over the counter.
Yeah.
But they really do have effects on other organs, systems in our bodies. And we should be aware of that as we're looking, because we probably aren't calling our doctor and saying, hey, can I take a decongestant? Those aren't, you know, concerns that we normally have with over-the-counter medication. So if you're aware, I think that you can be your own best medical advocate, and that's why we thought it was important to discuss today.
And then the next category of drugs is the expectorants. And we mentioned those just briefly, guaifenesin, which is actually one of the things that I would normally use if I had a lot of fluid in my lungs to be able to cough that up. That does work, and it works for many of our patients. And it is relatively safe. However, there are some things that can happen: dizziness, constipation, headache, tiredness, fatigue. You can get a rash. Maybe in high doses it would be nausea and vomiting. All of those are bad.
But if you're already at an increased risk of falls, causing more dizziness or, you know, more instability is probably not in your favor.
Right. Yeah. So it's the only drug that the FDA has actually approved directly for this. But there is another drug that is prescribed on occasion to solve that problem, and that is potassium iodide. And this will be something for you to check if your doctor has prescribed that, because it is a prescription-strength expectorant. It's been used as that. But, and this is important, potassium iodide is also used along with antithyroid medicines to prepare the thyroid gland for surgical removal. It is there to treat overactive thyroid conditions, hyperthyroidism.
Hyperthyroid, yeah, my brother had that.
It protects the thyroid in radiation exposure emergency. So, you know, if we had a nuclear fallout, then everybody should be running to get the potassium iodide. But short of that, it works to shrink the thyroid gland and decrease the amount of thyroid hormone produced. So you can imagine that if you are already hypothyroid and you take this potassium iodide, you're just making things significantly worse. So, and some of the side effects of potassium iodide are quite excessive. Abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, acid reflux, diarrhea, skin rash, numbness in the hands and feet, swelling or tenderness in the salivary glands, excessive salivation, sore gums, brassy metallic taste in the mouth, confusion, headache, tiredness, irregular heartbeat, you know, just
wow.
Some of those things. All because we have a little, you know, difficulty coughing stuff up.
A little cough. Yeah. And look at what we get in exchange. A little diarrhea, skin rash, numbness in the hands.
So
what's the trade-off?
You got to pick your side. Now, I also included in this my wife's favorite section, which is there are some natural expectorants
that are available. This is my favorite. Because I really feel there's far less side effects if we can find a natural alternative. I'm not saying that, I have all the respect in the world for Western medicine. I do. But simple things are probably better treated naturally.
So menthol is an expectorant, Hall's mentholyptus, or that kind of stuff.
Menthol cigarettes would not be, not.
I hadn't considered that. But no, probably
menthol. The menthol will help, but the cigarette part probably not so much.
Yeah, that's probably true. Sore throat lozenges that have menthol in them can help kind of break that up a little bit. Might be worth trying. Something a little more exotic would be ivy leaf extract,
right.
Which you can find.
We don't often discuss ivy leaf extract, but right. It's similar to the menthol effect.
Right, and so it can be effective for treating coughs and things
not
like that.
Not poison ivy, just ivy leaf.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
leaf.
Pick your ivy carefully.
Gotta get the right one. Yeah,
right. Get the right ivy. And then oral
Addie,
hydration.
You're so much help today. Yeah.
Sorry. I'll be quiet now.
No, don't.
So oral hydration, drinking a lot of water.
A lot of water,
That helps break that up. I mean, consider that dehydration means that everything gets dry.
Right.
And if we hydrate, then we may be able to loosen up that mucous
when
membrane.
When mucus is thinner, it passes more, more easily.
And steam, we used to consider that on a regular basis. I know that in my house we had that little machine that created steam, and you just put your head over it and breathe that for a while. And
or in a baby's room at night.
Yeah. And so if that is appropriate for you, and again, there are times when it's not, with somebody who has really debilitating lung conditions, change in atmosphere can have a huge impact. So this is not a one-size-fits-all, but things to consider. And then honey. Honey's known as that, and so those are some options. Now, the caution on honey is don't give that to children under the age of 12 months because they may not have the ability to deal with some of the bacteria that might be in the honey
and could cause botulism. I mean, and right now, most people listening are not dealing with infants 12 months and under. And honey has so many medicinal benefits. And I don't know if you just drink warm water with honey. It's very soothing and relaxing. Mm. I don't like a lot of honey. I don't like it to overwhelm the water. But it really does soothe and coat the throat.
Now, I've heard lemon, too, in that. Does lemon help?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it makes your water taste better.
And when I was a child, whiskey was part of that. That was a hot toddy.
No, you guys.
There were a couple of times that my mom gave me a hot toddy.
Your mom gave you liquor?
Yeah, back. It was a ways back. There were some
really
changes that
old.
Happened later, but, it was a ways back. So
this was back during Prohibition. Yeah. It was illegal.
Yeah, when it was hard to get, they usually kept it in the kids.
Yeah.
It wasn't found in their room if it was hidden
That's
in the
right.
crib.
So those remedies have been around a long time, and they have been perfected effectively, within natural cultures to figure out what really works. And so we should look at those as an option. But there are some side effects, some potential side effects, things that you would recognize, like the potential if it's menthol or ivy leaf, it may be hives, difficulty breathing, wheezing, swelling of your face or throat. Those are some significant things. And so if
the
you
truth
notice
is,
those
stop. Are if you have allergies to those things.
If you have allergies.
Yeah.
Ivy leaf extract, some nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, hives, or skin rash are potential, but only small potentials. So then cough suppressants, and this is, kind of important. They're always thrown in with all these other things. I think it's really amazing that they are constantly thrown in. As we talked about before with guafenicin, almost always right now in the drugstores, we have a hard time finding guafenicin without dextromethorphan.
Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to find. Hmm.
Almost all of it has dextromethorphan in it, which is counterintuitive and counterproductive when we're trying to loosen up the mucus so that we can get it out, and then we're suppressing the cough. I don't know why they are trying to push dextromethorphan the way they are.
Well, and I think we will all agree, taking only what you need was always better, because the more medications or drugs we introduce into our body, the more symptoms we have, right? The more likely we are to have some side effects. So if you could just specifically target and address the complication or the issue that you're dealing with, you'll have less side effects. So if you are looking for guafenicin, only get guafenicin. And it is hard to find, but it's not impossible to find.
Yeah, you just look and ask and find out why they're not putting it out on the shelf for you, and that'll be good.
Well, and I think I've discovered why. Guafenicin is very, very inexpensive, but you put the
dextromethorphan.
There you go. And the price goes up exponentially.
Got to make some money.
You go from $4 a box to about $15 a box. It's quite a bit different.
Wow.
Well, that would be a profit motive then. So keep that in mind. Now, dextromethorphan is contraindicated for if you're coughing because of asthma or tobacco smoke or emphysema. I mean, if you have lung disease, dextromethorphan is a terrible thing because it has negative impacts, but it doesn't stop there. If you have liver disease, it's bad because your liver has to process that out, and it can actually put major stress on your liver and either result in liver failure or at least toxicity. So things that we should avoid. If you are on MAO inhibitors because of medical conditions, dextromethorphan is bad. And yet it seems to be slipped into everything, and we're not sure why. Now, if you were a conspiracy theorist, you might think, well, that's because the pharmaceutical companies don't want to solve problems. They want to create problems to manage.
More to manage.
Yeah.
Mm. So, which also is a profit center.
And then the last one we're going to talk about today is antihistamines. When you've got that feeling behind your eyes and your nasal cavities are all plugged up, antihistamines are normally what you'd use. And I think many of these things we know about, obviously drowsiness and sleepiness. I think that's what you give your kids when you're going on a long trip as an antihistamine, so they just sleep through it.
You did not just say that.
But dizziness, dry mouth.
You drugged children, Richard, and your
Never.
Mom used to give you booze?
This is kind of messed up. We should have probably, done this pre-recorded and then cut all these things out of it.
It's okay. It's real.
It increases your appetite and weight gain for those that care. You can get an upset stomach.
Weight gain?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You can get changes in vision. And you get this feeling of nervousness, excitement, and irritability. And that's what I've always noticed when I've used antihistamines for more than just a couple of days. But the one thing, again, going back to this mucus, it thickens mucus. So when we're putting guafenicin with an antihistamine with a cough suppressant all in one, and that's what they're trying to do is give you all of these medications, they're working against each other.
Right.
So
thick
it's really...
mucus is going to be harder to cough up, and then you have a cough suppressant and an expectorant. It doesn't even make sense. But here's my overall take on it. All the adverse effects of taking that one methorphan, really have all the effects that we naturally come by as we age. So I really think, and this is just my opinion, but it sounds like if you are if you are starting to feel the effects of aging, these are actually going to be harder on your system than beneficial. So just stick right to the guafenicin if you really need a cough suppressant, or my favorite, menthol
and honey. That would be her favorite. So if you're looking for something to talk about over the holidays with family, we hope we've given you some fodder for that.
Mucus and Richard drinking liquor when he's a little kid.
At least he's not talking about, fecal matter again.
Wow, fecal incontinence. I hadn't thought about that one.
Not recently.
Oh, boy.
So
welcome to to the morning show, everyone.
Yeah. Be well informed when you're making your decisions. And even in the small decisions that we think are small, like, I've got a cold. I should take some medication for that. Give our office a call. We'd love to answer questions. And most of the things that we bring on the radio are results of conversations we've had. Our telephone number, 435-477-6999. We really appreciate you guys tuning in and supporting us in this.
We'll talk to you next week, everyone.